Yeah, hello, friends. It is Bauer Late, News Radio 930 WBE. And before we get back to more telephone calls from you guys on this whole natural gas thing, and, you know, it's interesting because I must tell you that it's very far and few between where you have something like this as a topic, and it's like you guys can't get enough of it. Now, at some point, obviously, you will have had enough of it, but that point is not today. I know that much. And joining us right now for an update on one of the best attended local meetings in recent memory of any organization, Frank Panasuk with the 1791 Society. They had a meeting last night with three local leaders, and the whole topic was the natural gas ban proposal. Frank Panasuk, you sent me some texts last night from the meeting, and the turnout was astonishing.
Our record for us in attendance in nearly about 5 years of existence of the organization, we had over 350 people in the hall. They were parking close to a half a mile away from the building, and a lot of people wanted to attend, and they saw the massive parking situation, and they had to drive on. Unfortunately, we couldn't get them all in.
Yeah, that's really unfortunate. Unfortunately, we don't have the best of cell phone connections here today. I don't know if you can stay in one place. I don't know if you're on the move or if you're in the middle of nowhere, what the story is. Frank Panasuk, 1791 Society. What were some of the points made by the speakers that resonated the most with the crowd?
Well, the interesting statistic that Senator Rob Ort, the Senate Minority Leader, stated, all of this corruption and upheaval over this gas situation is to counteract 0.04 of 1% emissions on a worldwide scale coming from New York State. In other words, what they're after is statistically insignificant, and it's nothing more than virtue signaling. It's not really going to solve anything. If they really want to go after emissions, they need to go after China and India, among a bunch of other countries that are contributing heavily to this pollution. 0.04% in New York State. That's it. That's why they're going to shut your gas off, take away your stoves, take away your furnaces. It's laughable. It really is. It's utterly laughable.
Now, Frank, my understanding is that if this thing does get passed by the legislature, that the state isn't going to be coming in and taking our stoves or taking our furnaces, but when our existing furnaces wear out, we're going to have to replace them with electric. For example, my gas stove, which I think I've used once, when that, I don't cook a lot, when that one wears out, when it comes time to replace it, I'm not going to have the option after 2025 of replacing it with gas. I'm going to have to go electric, but nobody's going to confiscate anything.
I think that date is actually 2030, and the 2025 is the proposed moratorium date for gas services to new builds, commercial and residential. One other interesting thing that came up, Legislator Todaro from the Erie County Legislature was in a meeting regarding the proposed new Buffalo Bills stadium.
Oh, yeah.
And he was informed that the Bills owner wants a natural grass, real turf field, and that will require heating the field. And he inquired as to what the projected opening date of that stadium is, and they said 2026. And he says, well, how are you going to heat this field with natural gas as the plans show? You know, you're going to violate your own law? And he didn't get a response or an answer. He got a dumb look. You know, and this This field heating system is projected to use 11 decatherms in gas per year, which is equal to all the gas used to heat hot water and so forth for the Rath building in an entire year. So on one hand, they're proposing a law in 2025, no gas installations in new buildings. And on the other hand, they're probably going to have to bring in a 5 or 6 inch gas main to the stadium to heat the football field.
Don't you love consistency? It's a wonderful thing. What were some of the other salient points that were brought up last night by the speakers that seemed to hit home with the audience, the standing room only crowd?
Well, one of the big things was the fact that, again, we're back to the cultural and political divide between New York City and the rest of the state. And the fact was brought out, again, by Senator Ort. These people in the legislature, particularly from the New York City metropolitan area, they do not understand our lifestyle and what we have to do here to get through one winter. And what's really sad is they don't care. They could not care less what we deal with here. They are from New York City. They feel that they have the righteous upper hand to rule the entire state, and they're going to do what they want to do.
Well, which brings us to my next point, and I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer here, Frank, because, you know, look, you had a lot of people at that meeting last night. You had so many people at the meeting last night that even more people saw the parking situation and said, oh, no, we're going to go somewhere else. But, you know, we had thousands of people in Albany to protest the New York Safe gun legislation back in, I think it was February of 2013. And yet, here we are in 2023, and not only is NY Safe still the law of New York State, but the gun laws are even more restrictive and onerous than before. So we have people showing up to vent their feelings, people showing up to get information, to voice their concerns, and maybe to protest. But at the end of the day, does it do any good because of what you just brought up about New York City and its population just being absolutely unconquerable by the voting bloc of the rest of New York?
Well, it proves that their great plans are a complete failure. The SAFE Act, the vast majority of that is just, it was all show. I could go down a laundry list of things that failed or were signed off on or ignored, or it just went away. They got, I think the last figure I heard was about 4.7% compliance on what they're calling an assault rifle. And a lot of that was from firearms owned by police agencies across the state. They told them they had to register them all. The general public just didn't do it. You know, so one thing after another failed. And this whole gas situation is going to fail, too, because it's not practical. The grid's not big enough to handle it. You know, again, we go back to this virtue signaling. You know, we're going to show that we're more concerned about the planet than you are. Well, you know, that's not true. I'm a hunter and I'm a fisherman, and I'm concerned about conservation. You know, they don't do anything for conservation. It's all supported by the fees paid by hunters and fishermen and private efforts by sportsmen's groups and so forth. But they want to show that they're having the upper hand. If anybody is a huge polluter in this state, you know, it's not a small lumber mill in Cattaraugus County. You know, it's New York City. You know, they're producing, you know, millions of tons of pollutants there, you know. The guy with a wood stove in Chautauqua or Cattaraugus County or even Erie County, they're not doing it. But these people want to show that they're doing something about it. So, yeah, the resistance, you know, it got their attention. Our meeting made waves all the way to Albany last night. it made waves here in Western New York. You know, it opened a lot of eyes. They saw the number of people there. They know there's a lot of resistance to this nonsense. And, you know, they're getting the pressure. And, you know, it's like anything. When there's pressure, they react to it.
And is the natural gas thing, unlike NY Safe, which was a message of necessity from disgraced Governor Andrew Cuomo, the situation here is as I understand, it's a proposal from Kathy Hochul, the legislature. It has not yet been clocked into the legislature. It may face some resistance in the legislature. Is that the goal, to get so many people at a meeting that it is stopped before it is even passed into law? And is that a realistic goal in this state?
Yes, it is. If they're reacting to it. You know, one thing all politicians can do is they can count. They can look at it and say, well, you know, how are these people going to help me? How are they going to work against me? Because the main goal of any politician is to get reelected. And when they see these numbers coming out and the resistance, you know, you want a message of necessity. The message of necessity is to be able to turn up your heat when it's zero out during a blizzard here. That's a necessity, because people died, you know, and this gas kept a lot of people alive, especially in the city. You know, within the city itself, there's not a lot of wood stoves. There's not a lot of emergency backup generators. People depend on their utilities. And when the power was out for days at a time, and they were having to huddle in small rooms and boil water and try to use their stove to keep some heat in the house, that gas saved lives.
Oh, absolutely. Are you at liberty to tell us how you know that last night's meeting, attended by like 350 people, how you know it made waves in Albany?
We have little birds that chirp back to us, you know, and sometimes they land on the windowsill and sing a little song.
All right, understood. Intelligence gathering, it's a wonderful thing. Frank, anything about last night's meeting that I didn't ask you that you want to stress to those people who could not make the 1791 Society meeting? I mean, 350 people on a weeknight to something that doesn't involve guys playing sports, that's significant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to get people to a political meeting. You know, most people can tell you who's got the most catches for the Bills and that, but they couldn't tell you who their assemblyman or state senator is, you know. So it is significant to get that many people there. The biggest thing is we have their attention. They know they're making waves. They know they're causing problems. They know they're getting resistance. So, you know, like we talked about earlier, it's trying to keep them under control. And, again, we go back. All the root of this, the root cause of this, is the great divide between New York City and upstate. There's a cultural difference here. There's a difference in needs. There's a difference in attitude, you know, and they just do not care about the rest of the state. We are considered to be inferior to New York City, and that's the bottom line. And they live in their world, and we live in ours. And there's nothing in common. There really isn't.
No, there truly isn't, other than the license plate. Anything west of the Hudson is viewed as hayseed country, and you know, we're just a couple of hayseeds who don't know anything. Frank,
they designed the plates, and they don't even drive.
All right, Frank Panasuk, thank you very much. Congratulations on the meeting, and I do hope that it made sufficient waves in Albany to head this one off at the pass.
Well, hopefully. We're not giving up. We're going to keep the pressure on, and we appreciate all your help in announcing the meeting and promoting it. We had a tremendous number of people mention that they heard about it on the show, and they were there to hear the officials.
Excellent. Frank, thank you very much. I appreciate your time. And again, congratulations on the meeting. Frank Panasuk with the 1791 Society, and they had a standing room only crowd last night, about 350 people. Would have been more, but people went, couldn't find any place close by to park, and drove on and went to Arby's or something. It is, I don't know why I said Arby's. For what, you know, you ever go through fast food cravings for no particular reason? Lately, I've wanted an Arby's roast beef sandwich with three horsey sauces. Now, I cannot eat an Arby's roast beef sandwich with three horsey sauces. That would not resonate real well with my body. So I can still dream. I'll put it that way. It is 325 at News Radio 930 WBEN. I want to take your telephone calls on the program. You might have been at the meeting last night. Of the 1791 Society. You may have been listening to these shows. And, you know, one of the, in addition to your general thoughts on this natural gas ban that is being proposed by the governor in her State of the State address, there may be areas that we have not touched on that you think we should touch on. I mean, look, it's a very complex issue, and You can't do everything all at once, but there may be areas you might be listening to the show or have been listening to the shows we've done on this, and you've got your particular area of interest or expertise, and you say, yeah, but Tom, I wish you would touch on this. You haven't even brought that up yet. Probably not, but I'd like your call to bring it to my attention and the attention to people who listen to this program. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. Coming up a little after 5:30, I think, we're going to talk with local attorney of national renown, Paul Cambria, and we're going to talk about the Alec Baldwin arrest and what it means and everything associated with the charges against Alec Baldwin. In short, they threw the book at him. Now, are they going to be able to get convictions? I don't know, but we'll see. News Radio 930 WBEN, it is Bowerly. Tom Puckett coming up next with the news at 3:30 on News Radio 930 WBEN. Hey, if you could do me a favor, check your mailbox, because I seem to have not received my invitation to Davos. The World Economic Forum, they didn't invite me, and I, you know, I was just looking for a place to fly my private jet so I could complain about climate change, but unfortunately I just didn't get the invite. Maybe it ended up in your mailbox. Anyway, welcome. It is Bowerly News Radio 930 WBEN. Speaking of the mail, and I love our letter carriers, you know that, but you ever get mail intended for somebody else and the address is so wildly different from yours that you have no idea how anybody could have made that mistake? I mean, you can understand if you get mail for a house away from you, two houses away from you. Okay, it is mistakes like that happen. But I received, as fortunately, just a piece of junk mail. I mean, business mail that it was of no particular relevance. But the address was so different than mine. How did this happen? How did this happen? Anyway, welcome. It's 3:37. Your telephone calls, if you don't mind, at News Radio 930 WBEN. Your thoughts on this proposal to ban natural gas appliances, and different dates are the kick-in dates for various parts of this scheme. But one of the things that I really want to do is make sure that we get people on from the utilities. Now, there is a very prominent person I'm hoping to get on the show very, very soon, but somebody made the point yesterday on the program, I thought it was a great point, that the people from the electric utilities need to be very vocal about this. You guys and ladies with the utilities, the electric companies, you need to come out and make it really clear that the electrical grid simply cannot handle what they're going to be asking of it in the not too distant future. It just isn't possible. It's not practical. You might have an area of your particular expertise or interest that you think we need to cover with respect to this natural gas situation. Everybody, I always tell you that everybody views the world through their own prism. And what's interesting to me may not be interesting to you, and vice versa. And you know, that's the nice thing about a show like this is you guys get to call in and say, hey, you didn't cover this aspect. We'd like a show on this aspect. For example, the home building situation. Hadn't really thought of that because don't happen to be in the market for a new home in Western New York. So 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Then, of course, if the World Economic Forum has its way, we're all going to own nothing and be happy anyway as we munch away on insects instead of a burger. Let's go to Greg in North Collins. Greg, you're on WBEN. Hello.
Hey, Tom.
Yes, sir.
Great show again. Great topic. Love it. I called in a couple of days ago.
But, well, do you think it's going to peter out? Do you think it's going to, I mean, obviously it's going to peter out at some point, but that point is not yet. I cannot believe the interest in this topic.
Well, you got my juices flowing, brother. I'll tell you that, you know, and I'm just a normal red-blooded American. But anyways, you know, everybody's focused on combustibles. Let's talk combustibles, gas, wood stoves, okay? And you know, that's what they got their crosshairs on now. But what about every mom-and-pop cigar shop out there that's selling cigars? How about the guy that just opened a dispensary and paid $100,000 for a permit to sell pot, you know? How about 4th of July fireworks, when we let light fireworks off? How about the candle industry? How about the RV industry, when every RV out there is heated by propane and you cook with propane? You don't camp unless you're not camping unless you have a campfire. You know, it's insane. Every school out there have huge boilers that heat their school. That was brought up. I mean, it's just insane. What this is the state should be brought up on economic terrorism charges. They're instilling fear in the population, and their goal is to instill enough fear. They know damn well everybody can't convert their homes, seniors can't convert their homes, so they're gonna treat this much like alcohol and tobacco. You'll be charged a sin tax. All right, if you choose to have natural gas, then you'll pay an extra fee. You'll pay more than your neighbor. You know, I mean, because it's just it's not going to happen. It's not practical. Doesn't make sense. It's not. They're throwing everything against the wall, and they're hoping that something's going to stick. So, you know, really, I think people need to maybe take calm down, because it's not going to happen. They're riling everybody up. They're certainly tapping into their base, the liberal left base. You know, but the economic ramifications of this, like I said, the camping industry, you know, RVs, it's I think you got my point. And they're going to charge fees. If you can't afford to convert, if grandma can't afford to convert her gas stove over, no problem, grandma. You know, you just pay an extra couple hundred bucks a year in your green tax, in your tax bill every year.
You may very well be onto something, but something that I just want to bounce off of you. A number of callers have stated this, that this is really about everything we're seeing happening right now. It's all about control of the individual, controlling us, you know, almost like trying to herd people into places they don't want to live, and making sure their mobility is limited by electric vehicles that give you a couple of hundred miles and then you got to charge them. I mean, an electric vehicle, at least for me, would be impractical because I don't mind taking road trips. But if an overnight road trip turns into a five-day road trip because I got to stop and charge my car all the time, it's not real practical.
Giving people choices is one thing. Mandating an industry, converting a whole industry, how we do things, is a whole nother thing. You know, you can't. Look at the rapid transit systems in Buffalo. See how many people are sitting on them at any time. You know, you can count them on one finger. You know, it's government. It's insane what they're trying to do. It's not going to work. What they're going to do, you know, I've told my wife, you know, I mean, I can afford to live and work in New York State. I'm not so sure I can afford to live retired in New York State, you know, and it's not sustainable. So I really think what they're hoping for is increase revenues through fees.
Turn it into a revenue stream. Very interesting. Greg, thank you very much. All right, what do you guys think of that? Do you think that's a possibility? How do you rule anything out in New York State? Because the more ridiculous you think an idea sounds when you first hear about it, the greater chance it's going to become reality in this state. It never fails. Here's David in Lockport on WBEN. Hello.
Hello, Thomas.
Yes, sir.
You asked for people to maybe call in and mention things that you didn't mention earlier. I know the grid won't handle what they're even implying they want to put on it, but I don't believe the grid is going to be the issue because the method of generation isn't there. The Indian Point down New York City, Cuomo killed that nuclear plant. They're shutting down coal-fired plants. They won't allow atomic. We got one Niagara Falls, and that ain't going to benefit us until we go to Syracuse and cut the wires so that we can enjoy our own electricity when we become Western New York State.
By the way, just so we're clear, we do not advocate the cutting of any electrical wires at any place by anyone, just so you're aware.
Yeah, I was serious. You know, I would be serious understand. If we did a West Virginia and separated the state. This isn't designed to work. It's designed to collapse like everything else the left does. Electric cars aren't designed to work. Where are you going to charge them? How are you going to charge them? The electric grid's going to collapse. If they meant anything, if they were serious about any of this, the $800 and some billion that Obama got to rebuild the country's infrastructure wouldn't have been stolen and given away. They didn't rebuild anything.
Well, but
so how are you going to do this?
Now we're building back better.
Yeah, we're building back better, all right. Yeah, I got my point across. I'll be swearing in a minute, so I'll let you go.
All right, thank you very much, David. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. A lot of people venting about this, and a lot of people coming at it from different angles here. But the thing is, politically, I understand the political game to an extent that is going on here. But you take a look at a place like, the city of Buffalo and how badly it was hit by the blizzard of 22. You think about Western New York and the people for whom Western New York typically votes, and yet we just experienced people freezing to death in their own homes during the blizzard of 22. How do you sell people who have just undergone a major trauma, the blizzard of 22, how do you sell them on, yeah, this is really a good idea? Well, let's forget about those people who died in their homes because they had no heat whatsoever. It's just, I don't understand. It takes a lot of balls to propose this stuff now, in particular in Western New York that just went through this horrific situation. And the death toll is now 47. And it probably is going to go higher. And I don't know, talk to David Bellavia about this before I came on the air. I don't know what is taking so long. I don't know if it's a question of they are awaiting toxicology reports. I don't know if it's a question of, hey, there are so many bodies that we have to autopsy and only so many forensic pathologists to do it. I don't know what the issue is, why the numbers are so slow in coming out. Is it because at the beginning, they didn't want to tell people what the death toll was, and they figured if they released it in dribs and drabs, it would be easier to take, that once you've acclimatized yourself mentally to 30 deaths, well, then it's 35, and then it's 38, and then it's 40, and then it's 47. Whereas if you just said right at the beginning, 47 deaths, 50 deaths, people would be, I don't know if they'd be up in arms, but they'd be pretty upset. I mean, is that what is going on? I mean, it's getting to the point where many of us have very little faith very little faith in leadership in this county and in this state. And unfortunately, too, one of the things that I think has been a direct outshoot of the pandemic is I've never heard so many people so skeptical about the medical profession. Never in my life. There's a large number of people who basically, I must tell you, their views on the medical profession changed dramatically as a result of the pandemic. Think about the old school doctors. I'm going to date myself here, but Marcus Welby, MD, the doctor, a very trusted, professional, bougie thing, right? Physician, my son, the doctor, my daughter, the doctor. And it used to be an esteemed profession. But now, have you ever heard so many people expressing so much skepticism is the word, skepticism toward the medical profession? This is new in my experience. It really is. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. There's a real trust gap in America right now. I don't think anybody's really addressed that. There's a trust gap. That was one of those nights. My head hit the pillow, and I was down for the count all night long. Left the fireplace on all night. Usually I wake up and turn it off, but that gas bill is going to be pretty nasty. I'm just saying. Not looking forward to it. Josh is shaking his head in the next room. Am I in for a total shock? Because usually in the wintertime, I set the thermostat in the house at 66. And I've been using the fireplace because it's nice and cozy. Just saying. Let's get back to the calls on WBEN. Here is Craig in Niagara Falls. Craig.
Hey, Tom. I got a really quick solution. Your previous caller kind of mentioned it. But maybe we should just take all the electricity that we create here in Niagara Falls that we ship down to Washington, D.C. and New York City and Albany and however many cities we ship this electricity to, we'll just keep it here. Maybe that'll solve the electricity issue, at least generating electricity here in Niagara Falls and New York and Buffalo in general.
Well, obviously, you know that's not going to happen.
Well, yeah, exactly, because, you know, New York City has its own rules, and they tell us what to do, and we tell them we're not doing that. Think about with the natives and them trying to take the tax and make them charge taxes for their stuff.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much, Craig. Unfortunately, I don't know that. Well, I'm sure that his idea is just it's just not going to happen. And by the way, speaking of electric and electric bills, have you noticed how much more you're paying for electricity? Because, see, electricity is one of those things to which I don't pay a lot of attention. It's like gas prices. Some of you know exactly what the gas price is on any given day. I never pay any attention to it because it's something I need. I've got to have it, and I'm going to put it in the car. And I don't pay any attention to it because it's one of those things about which I can do absolutely nothing. Same thing with electricity. I have my electricity needs, and I don't really pay attention to the bills because I used it, and there's nothing I can do about that. Not going to use any less. Just pay what they say I owe. But past few months, I've been looking at it, and definitely has gone up significantly. And my use is pretty much the same. I'm one of those horrible people who gets admonished by National Grid for using more electricity than my neighbors. Here is Gary in Boston. It's hardly like my house is Tokyo at night. Gary in Boston, you're on WBEN. Hello.
Yeah, how you doing? Yeah, here's something I didn't hear from anyone yet. Say everyone goes to year after year, they go on the electric, right? So then there's less customers paying their gas bill, less income for the gas company. How are they going to keep up all these gas lines underground, you know, and replace the ones that are rusted out where they have to, go out and hire people to replace them? It's an impossibility. They'll go out of business.
Well, the other side of that, too, is what will it do to the supply and the price of natural gas? I mean, you save when you buy and sell in bulk, right? So if fewer people are going to be using gas, what's it going to do for those who are left behind still using gas? And maybe that's part of the plan, to make it so expensive that people have to convert to electric because they can't afford it anymore.
Right. And the companies, they just go out of business, that's all. You know, the gas company. And once it's gone, it's gone. You don't think they're going to change your mind later and say, you know, we made a mistake. This electric thing isn't working out. We're blackouts and all. Let's go back to gas. It's not that easy. You know, it's okay going along and repairing and, you know, getting new customers and gently raising the price once in a while. But once it's gone, it's it. We're stuck.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Guys, what do you think that is part of this, or is that just cockamamie? That as more and more people use electric, they're forced to, and fewer people use natural gas, that the price for those who still use natural gas is going to go up because there won't be the need to produce as much. It seems to me that it's going to be more expensive and that maybe that's part of the whole plan, to make it more expensive, not next year or the year after, but down the road, 20, 30 years. It becomes one of those things where, my goodness, we might as well be burning gold. Just a thought. I don't know if that's true, but I'd like your take on that, especially those of you who specialize in natural gas and energy as your hobby. And there are people out there who do. God bless you. It's coming up. David Bellavia. I mentioned this many times yesterday, but the energy grid and energy in general, that is his avocation. That is what he does. That is his passion in life, and it has been for as long as I've known him. It is 4:57 at News Radio 930 WBEN. We'll take more calls coming up after the news at 4 o'clock, including big news on the Alec Baldwin front on News Radio 930 WBEN. And no, it does not involve Alec capturing a Soviet submarine with Sean Connery as the captain.